preached last night, and I told you I didn't have no baby. And tonight I've got twins. So, that's a problem there, ain't it? It's good to be here this week. I've enjoyed it. And I told Brother Mike, he went ahead and gave me the offering last night, which we certainly do appreciate. But I said, Brother, you know, it's kind of dangerous to pay a preacher from Alabama on Tuesday night when there's one more night to go. I had a hard time getting here tonight. But, you know, we've got a bad reputation. We took the motorcycle. We got a motorcycle. Esther and I rode it up north for a couple of weeks. And we was planning on going 3 days, and we was gone 12. Well, you know, you run out of clothes if you do that kind of math. And so she'd wash them in the motel and then hang everything off the motorcycle. So we was going down the road, you know, with underwear and shirts and bras and everything else hanging on. And I got to thinking, you know, it probably added up because they'd look at that tag, it said Alabama. So I said, well, we won't see him at one time, so it's all that matters anyhow. But sure has been good. Looking forward to tonight. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel and chapter number 1. We started out the other night with me not even knowing where I was headed. And I still don't much. But it's kind of formulating in me. And we've been looking at what I want to call tonight Bible births. Bible births. And I sort of felt like we had several visitors that really didn't understand what I was talking about. So I'm hoping maybe the home folks will be able to show me that they know what I'm talking about. And these Bible births and how that the Lord, of course, through these Bible births can make application to our hearts as to what God has brought alive within us. And Brother David didn't know he's going to testify tonight. I didn't either until he testified to me. And so you can get it. They got it perfect. They got it perfect. What I've been preaching all week, I knew they had it. So, Brother David, tell them what you told me. That's what I've been preaching on, see? You got to wait on the baby to kick. Got to be a birth there. Praise the Lord. That helped me out. But let's read here in 1 Samuel, and we'll just maul around here a little bit on this matter of births, because I want to encourage your heart to look for those times when God wants to put new life in you. He wants to bring freshness. He wants to do something in you, but it'll be like a birthing experience, and it'll be fresh, as I say. It'll be living. So in 1 Samuel and chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 8. I'll read down through verse 11, and then I'll read verse 26 through 28, and then chapter 2, verse 1. Then said Elkanah and her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? In other words, he's saying, you don't need no babies, you got me. Boy, every wife knows that's not a good deal. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, Eli, The priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the door. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then I'm looking on over verse number 20. The Bible said, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel meaning the Lord has heard. And then in verse number 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Chapter 2 and verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And then in verse 5, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. You can be seated. I'm interested in this thought of these Bible births that have jumped out at me of late, and how that, as I've expressed, God desires and designs these births for your life and for my life. And that life, the Christian life, is one that's based, of course, primarily on a birth. And that is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that birth, no other birth even counts. You'd be better off if you weren't even born. But as Paul said, I travail in birth again, that Christ may be formed in you. And as we are being conformed into the image of Christ, the Lord, will at period of times work in our hearts and sort of incubate and conceive a new work, a new desire, a new direction. And it'll turn out to be a baby that is born that will determine a measure of what God wants you to do for Him. And who knows what that is? And who knows what direction it is? Who knows what working it'll be? But it'll be a real, genuine life. And it'll keep you from playing church. It'll keep you from getting old in religion. You can't get old when babies are around the house. They'll run slap over top of you. And they've got energy. They've got life. And you don't have to pump it in them. They've got more than you can hold. And haven't you ever been around a bunch of youngers and seen them and said, boy, I wish I had a half. I wish they could jar that up and sell it. Some of that energy. And the energy of the Christian life is an energy that lives off those different experiences with God that seem to be like new life and refreshing births. For instance, not only salvation, but for your pastor and myself and others that may be here, the call to preach was something that God formed in us. And it began to waller around in there. And it began to kick. And we realized that there was something that had life, and we didn't realize the fullness of it. But yet, in fullness of time, all of a sudden it was birthed. And when it was, that life to preach began to live. And we didn't have to try to preach. We didn't have to go to school to preach. We didn't have to go to some seminary and learn how to preach. It was just born. Just get out of the way. It's going to live. And as I say to you, there are many instances in life that God, missionaries, being called to the foreign fields, or you, whatever the Lord may want to work in your life as far as your giving, as far as your praying and things of that nature. These wonderful births that are so real and so much alive within us. And I'm interested in these births. And I've thought about several of them. I've mentioned them. I want to come to Samuel. But there are other births in the Bible that stand out. Of course, the Bible is a book of births. And it moves from one birth to the next birth. And so it is with the church, the Christian life. It moves from one birth to the next birth, living within us. And so it is even in history. History is a history of and humanity of births. That's how we got here. But I was thinking about, of course, I preached on Isaac. And I guess I could say it this way. Hopefully you can grab it. Do you have a baby? You ever had a baby? Do you have a baby named Isaac? Do you have a baby named Isaac? And you say, well, what is Isaac? Isaac, as I preached the other night, is God's plan for your life. Are you living according to your will and plan B, or has God's plan and will, as Brother David was talking about, has it been birthed into your life so you can skip to the house and say, Sister Sherry, the Lord has said, and know for sure and for certain that that's the way it ought to be. It's birthed in you in a new light. You can see it in your eyes. I'm glad for the baby named Isaac that brought laughter in my life. I'm glad I'm not going across this country preaching in gloom and doom, dreading every mile of the way. But I'm glad God birthed in me this plan, and there's laughter in it. There's joy in it. And you've never been around anybody that enjoys their life any more than somebody that knows that they're in God's will and doing what God wants them to do. And it's been birthed in them to do so. They're not struggling to do it. There's nothing else they could do. I cannot think of another thing on top side of God's earth that I even could do. I have no plans of my own. But boy, I have a good time in plan A. You say why? Because I got a little baby named Isaac that was born in me and it lives. And I wonder, do you have a baby by the name of Obed? Anybody got a baby by the name of Obed? Are you just coming to church? Are you just hearing sermons and songs? Or has God birthed worship in you? Do you know anything about worship being birthed in you? And to me, that's not only the plan of God being birthed in you, but that's the passion of God. That's the whole passion of true religion and salvation. You take worship out of it, and honey, it's dull. Matter of fact, close it up. I don't even want anything to do with it. A formality. I like worship. It puts passion into your walk with Christ. And I'm glad that when the Lord saved me, He gave me something that would worship Him so that I could enjoy that passion down through lives. And I love to look in the eyes of people who worship because there's that passion that is there. That passion. You ever see somebody when they get to worshiping and they're usually maybe kind of quiet but when they get to worshiping, man, it all comes out on them. They'll just blast you. And you say, man, I didn't know they ever got that loud. Well, you ain't been around them when they worship. There's a passion to that never dies. You ever get the baby worship born in you, you'll never be satisfied with Walmart and Kmart and Toys R Us. You know, ironically, I got to noticing around our house, I thought, well, I may get me a baby and take it to church tonight. I couldn't find a baby. Now, we've got 10 grandchildren and one on the way. and no baby dolls in the house. But I just figured that out. If you got 11 youngins, you don't want no dolls. My goodness. They ain't no room for the plaything. You got the real thing. And I'm glad if you got old-fashioned worship's been born like old bed was born into that family. You don't have time for religion and playing church. You don't have nothing to do with that when you can worship. I got the baby Isaac, the plan, the baby worship, the passion. And I think this is the greatest of all, the baby Jesus. You got him. You got him. And that's the person. That's the person. I'm glad that he's alive within me, aren't you? I'm glad that I've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I'm glad Jesus is on the inside, a real, genuine person. And that's what this is all about. If you hadn't met the person, then honey, nothing else makes any difference. But I'm glad that birth took place. But let's go back here to Samuel for just a few moments. And I want us to look at this baby Samuel. Have you got a baby named Isaac? He ever been born in you? You got a baby named Worship? Ever been born in you? You got a baby named Jesus that's on the inside, Christ in you, the hope of glory? But I want to look at that baby Samuel. I think about that baby Samuel. And as I meditated on Samuel, Samuel seemed to emphasize to me the purpose of God. Because there was a great purpose in the birth of Samuel, if you'll look at it. Of course, there's a purpose for all of these births. But it stands out even more that Samuel seemed to have an overwhelming purpose. He had a purpose as far as Hannah was concerned. He had a purpose as far as Eli was concerned. He had a purpose as far as Israel was concerned. He had a great purpose as far as even David was concerned. He was not just a byproduct. He was not an accident nor a happenstance. He was not something that was conjured up. But I believe that Samuel was a birth that was ordained of God because God had a purpose for this little boy in the lives of so many. And may I say to you, when God wants to bring this birthing experience into your life, when he wants to call a young man to preach, or he wants to send somebody to the mission field, or he rests upon your heart to pray, or he makes you a giver like none other, or whatever it is that he may want you to do, that he births in your heart, that he hadn't birthed in anybody else's heart. The reason why he's birthed that in there is because he has a purpose for that birth, for that child, for that life. Because somebody else needs what you're carrying. Somebody else needs that life that is within you to minister beyond you. And so God allows a Samuel to be born for a purpose. God allowed preaching to be born in me for a purpose. He allows that purpose to live. And as I say, he has a very reason for that purpose. Now, I could think of three purposes that are in here. I'll just mention them and then give you some thoughts here. But I think Samuel was that child that God created in the womb. And I feel like I need to illustrate this here. As I work on this, I'm going to have to get these things ironed out so you can get the picture. Because it's not only preaching or whatever. God can birth some mighty little things that seems little to you. It may even be an apology to somebody else. But yet that birthing in you is going to change your life. It'll change the life of the person you have to apologize to. It can have some many extenuating effects, even them little births. Or it may be riding along the road and maybe seeing somebody there. And I don't recommend just picking anybody up, but have you ever just rode along the road and the Holy Ghost said, stop? And you didn't understand why you're supposed to stop, but you knew something was kicking on the inside and you better stop, and you knew you did right when you did stop. Or has the offering plate ever went by and you said, well, I already gave, and the Holy Ghost said, yeah, but you didn't give all I wanted you to give. Go ahead and dig down that pocketbook and get some more. And it seemed like instantaneously that birth was taking place in you, and you didn't have time to wrestle with it. It was just born on the spot when you got your billfold out and handed it to somebody. I'm talking about births of all natures. I'm talking about, as I've said this week, young lady, when God births that. Now, let me tell you this story. It just crossed my mind, and I may have told it here before. But I'm trying to get this idea of these births. But my wife here, I was 18, 19 years old. Born and raised in West Virginia, but got saved in Ohio, and I went to South Carolina to go to school. A little Bible college down there. And an old boy from the mountains of North Carolina moved down there, and I'd never been to North Carolina. Never been in the state. And so he needed a place to stay, so we boarded together to help pay for the expenses, of course, of housing while we were going to school. And so... he kept wanting me to go visit with him in the mountains, and of course I didn't even know where he was talking about, and I wasn't interested. I was too busy in school. And one day he came in, Brother David, one evening, and he said, Brother Dana, you ought to read this. I said, what is it? He said, it's a Dear John letter. I didn't even know John. I said, what's that? He said, well, my girlfriend broke up with me. I didn't want to hear the letter, but I didn't want to be impolite. I said, okay, read it. Man, he read the best letter I ever heard. And she was talking about she wanted God's will for his life and God's will for her life and wanted him to serve the Lord, and she wanted to serve the Lord. But basically what she was saying was, ain't nothing kicking on the inside and I can't marry you. And so we might as well not date anymore because there's nothing there. It's not that you're a bad person or anything between us. It's just there's nothing there. Well, they got done reading that letter, and I was laying there, and I said, you ain't got a picture of her, have you? That's right. He said, well, yeah, I do. He wasn't real bright. So he ran back in the bedroom, and he came back out there, and it was a little old picture about like that. I don't know what you call it, what size it was, from high school where she graduated. And he handed me that picture. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy. And I don't recommend this. But this is the truth if I've ever told it. And I ain't no Benny the Hen. This don't happen every 2 or 3 days. But it did happen. She handed me that picture. And the Holy Ghost kicked on the inside like a mule kicking and said, there she is. That's your wife. I said, oh, I mean, just as real as could be. Man, it kicked the walls of my... And I wasn't even thinking about marriage. I mean, I was going to school, having a good time, preaching and everything else. Wasn't crossing my mind. I saw that picture and the Holy Ghost said, that's her. I said, yeah, I think it is. I said to him, when's the next time you're going home? He said, well, it'll be about 2 weeks. I said, I think I'll go with you. I went up there, went into that church. I already knew, David. I already knew. The baby had been born in me. I walked in. I didn't go to service to hear no preaching. I went to see the woman I was going to marry. She's sitting up there playing the piano in a church where I later pastored for 18 years. I sat back and looked at her. Couldn't wait to introduce myself to her. And after the service, I did introduce myself to her. And I dated her twice and asked her to marry me. I could have asked her on the first date, but I was afraid she'd think I was jumping the gun. I wanted to wait a while. But I'm going to tell you something. I got me a fiery woman, ain't no doubt about it. Huh? I like that old song said, I got a tiger by the tail, and boy, I did. And we've had our ups and downs and ins and outs and fights and squalls. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I never had a doubt about that woman right there, because the Holy Ghost put her in my heart that night as 18, 19-year-old boy, and I don't have any doubt. And brother, it's wonderful to not have to doubt about where you're at, what you're doing, all your relationships, or whether you ought to be there, whether you ought not be there, because you've waited on God and He birthed it in your heart and it lives. Now, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Huh? Just all of a sudden on the inside. And it'll be just like a revelation. You'll know. Call the doctor. Call the preacher. Something's happened. I don't know. I felt a kick. And I think I'm going to have to do something. You ever had that happen? Huh? That's what I'm talking about. But you see, when that happens, God's got a purpose. That's what He's doing in your life. He's giving you purpose. A man asked me one day, I was sitting at his house and he was reading a newspaper and he said, "I don't understand this." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I just read here in the paper where the doctor, the main doctor here in this town, has given up his practice and is going to Africa." He said, "Why would a doctor do that?" I said, "Simple." He said, "What is that?" I said, "Purpose. God put a purpose in his heart. He was a Christian, wanted to go down there and minister and pray, and he gave it all up to go." So, now I don't think he did that on a whim. I think there had to be a baby born somewhere before he was going to do that and leave all that money and everything else. But honey, I'll guarantee he's had a good time down there having a purpose and a reason for life. This woman had no reason to live until God filled her womb with a purpose. In the Old Testament times, if a woman didn't have a child, she had no worth in life. And she cried out and she moaned to God and she said, "I've got to have a baby." I may say the problem with the church nowadays is we just come satisfied with who we are and where we're at. We don't really care if we're going to help anybody. But you ain't going to help nobody unless you help them out of a birth. Huh? And it ought to be our cry, "Lord, you birth something in me and give me a purpose. May I be more than just an attendant at church on Sunday morning sitting on a pew there. And if you ain't got no purpose, you ain't going to hang around long there anyway. But Lord, give me a purpose in this church. Give me a reason for being here. Make me somebody that has a cause in life. Burst some new life in me." Boy, God had a purpose when he filled that womb, and God occupied, I tell you, that womb, and Samuel was born. He was entombed in there. I tell you something else that come out of Samuel, that little baby. It had been many years since they had heard a word from God. Not only was there an empty womb, but there had been no expounding of the Word of God. Said there was no Word in those days. Nobody had been speaking God's Word. They'd been living off of religion and religious traditions. But when this old boy came out of the womb, honey, God began speaking to him. And if you read chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said that God spoke to all Israel through that little baby boy. God had a word. Said it last night. Who would have ever thought years ago that God was going to birth somebody with a purpose to come in here and minister right here in Bowden? Who would imagine this? Huh? Who would imagine this? God did. So He birthed something in a heart. And that birth began to live and it began to touch other people's lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't just want to live and die. Now, there's somebody here, some folks that, and I don't want you to take this wrong, because it is a heavy burden to a woman who's married and wants a child, and almost everywhere. I've met very few that didn't want their own child. And we ought to pray that God's will would be done there. But I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate all your grandyoungins and all your youngins, but they ain't nothing like mine. That brings me. When my little grandyoungins come bouncing out of that car and say, "Daddy Dana, I come alive." It's just a thrill to see them get in there and just run all over everything and, you know, just do their thing. I just love it! Love them babies that have been born. They mean so much to me! But I wonder, are you just satisfied with everybody else having their babies? Are you satisfied that everybody else is done? Do you want to be the aunt that doesn't want no children? You're just going to be satisfied with your sister's youngins? Or are you one that's saying, "God, I've got to have something. I've got to have a purpose in life. I want to do something for you. I want to know that I'm here for a reason." I feel sorry for people that live life. The only purpose they got is to clock in, clock out. Clock in, clock out. I feel sorry for people when they just go to church and all they're doing is clocking in, clocking out. Clocking in, clocking out. And nothing will lighten and lift a church like a newborn baby, a sinner being brought in. But I'm going to tell you second to that. It's when you get a saint come in and God just births something new in them. And brother, they can't sit there and wait until the third song. They got to stand up and say something. God has said this to me! And what a thrill it is! What a purpose it is! That womb was entered. And that word was expounded. And then I thought about David and how that the only way that he was ever going to be king is there's going to have to be some anointing. And little did we know that 80 years before he was ever anointed, or 60 years, ever how many it was, this little old boy Samuel was born into this world. He was a birth with a purpose of enthroning the king. Anointing the king. What a purpose that is. To realize that your main reason in this world is to let Jesus be known and be lifted up. But honey, that ain't something that has to be born into you. Has to be born into you. I'm talking about a real purpose in life. More than just getting to work and back. More than just getting out of bed and going to bed. But it is something that God births in you. Something that lives. Something that grows. Something that is personally yours. And is something that you can enjoy. And something that God Almighty wants you to have. God. Let me ask you this question. We know that Hannah wanted a baby, didn't she? Boy, she wrestled and begged God for a baby. Barren times are also good times. I get those times when I preach that are barren. Boy, I hated that when I pastored. I could just about tell I'd preach that sermon and then I'd go back to my study for the next week. And Lord, it was just dry as dust. And I'd read this chapter and read that chapter and read another chapter and go back and read that chapter again, this chapter. And I'd sit down and mentally try to put me an outline together on a chapter and get me some thoughts on a chapter. And when I got done, no matter how I did it, it all just looked like nothing. Hadn't taken no form. And brother, I'm going to tell you, I went as much as a month or 2 months when I couldn't get no baby. You ain't got one, you can't give it. And I know I couldn't. I got to the place where I didn't try to phone nobody. I just tell the people, "I ain't got nothing this morning. Let's read a verse." Instead of becoming immune because I'm going to preach or think I've got to preach, and then you won't never know when I got something or ain't got something. So I just say, "Well, I ain't tried. I've looked, but the Lord ain't said nothing, so I ain't got nothing to say. Let's just read us a verse somewhere. And we can go to the house. But I'm going to tell you, it was wonderful. Going through those barren times, I find myself praying, because you can't do without one, not if you're a preacher. Or whatever the calling is, you can't. You're gonna have to feel God in it. And I find myself, the longer I went, the more I was crying out, saying, Lord, I ain't nothing speaking. I got to have something. And all of a sudden, I just walk in there and open the book up. Man, it's just like it comes in living color. I said, wow, how did I miss that? That's good. And that old baby gets a kicking in the walls of my soul. And I'll be laying it. I've laid in bed at night, been asleep, and woke up, and it hit me. Have to get out of bed and run and try to find the light, turn it on, get a pen, set up. And the wife said, what you doing? I said, I just had a baby. I'm going to get her down here. I see the head, I see the hands, I see the feet, I see the body. Woo! I wish it was Sunday in the morning. Might be Thursday, but that old baby just kick on the Friday and say, get up Sunday morning and say, folks, are you ready? I've got a baby to deliver. You ever deliver? And I'll tell you something else. You deliver a pretty good baby, you can't get it off your mind. You just keep looking at it. I'll go back to the house after I preach, and you will too. I'll go back to the house after I preach, and Esther said, well, let's just go to bed. I said, I can't. She said, why? I said, I can't get it off my mind. And I go in there and try to go to sleep, honey, and that old baby will still be rolling around the crib. And it'll still be saying, say that again. Say that again. Well, you missed this over here. You should have said, oh, I forgot about that. Look at them eyes. They's blue and pretty. Old baby's alive. Got a purpose. I preach about every year at a church, Freedom Baptist Church, but it's up in North Carolina. And we take our camper up there and park it and I got to noticing that there was a fellow there, I'm not going to say old timer, probably 67, 68. All that looks younger the more longer I go. Anyway, I noticed him out there mowing and he'd weed eat. And he just had a pleasant look on his face. He'd be sweating out there just. And I told my wife one day, I said, you know, if I catch him lay that weed eater down, I was afraid to go out there while he's using it, he might have an extra one. But I said, I said, he lays that weed eater down. I said, I'm going to go out there and talk to him. So I went out there, all around. He laid it down. He come over there, and he's just wiping sweat and everything. And I got to talking to him and having some good fellowship, talking about the Lord. And I said, you mow all this around here? Big old churchyard, and then the parsonage was there, big yard, and then a big old graveyard with bunches of those. It was a job for a young man. And he said, yeah, I do. Just had a pleasant look on his face. I said, how come you mow? He said, well, preacher, let me tell you about that. He said, about 8 years ago, he said, I had a massive heart attack. Said I went into the hospital. They thought I was going to die. Stayed in there several weeks and said they had to do several bypasses and stuff like that. And he said I got out of there and he said I headed to church first Sunday I could. And he said I come to church and he said I started up into the church and I just stood. For some reason, said I looked around. And he said the grounds wasn't bad, but they just wasn't. For some reason, I said, boy, I really don't. Looked too good. And he said, the Holy Ghost said to me, you won't cut that? He said, Lord, I ain't got no health. I've just had a massive heart attack. He said, I want you to take care of this. And he said, for 8 years, I've cut her every time, weed eater her every time. And he said, Brother Dana, me and the Lord, he said, I can't wait to get here. We have such a time out here, I'm mowing all of this. You say how that happened? A baby was born in him that gave him the purpose of mowing the yard. And he's going to give on him. I'm going to tell you, it looks good too. And he ain't out there saying, oh, why? Somebody else don't help me. I'm going to tell you why. It ain't their baby. Quit crying because everybody don't come over and take care of your baby. If God's given you something to do, you take care of it. It's your baby. If you've got one, has the Lord ever give you anything that just sprung up in you and you said, Lord, thank you that you called, you let me do, would you let me do that, Lord? I'll do it with everything in me because I want it to mean something to somebody else. Rock of my baby. Yeah. You got your baby? Got something that's living? Eternal. Every baby that's ever been born is eternal. You say they died. Yeah, they might, but they're going to heaven. That's eternal. And God ever births anything in you, He didn't birth it to die somewhere. It's going to keep on living. And I like to get up every morning feeling like my grandyoungins is in my lap. I got something to do for the Lord. Huh? I got meaning and purpose. I got a Samuel. I got an Isaac. I got an Obed. I got a Jesus. Let's stand. I may come back and preach this when I get it figured out. But I know one sister that got it. Woo! I've had a good time. Y'all don't mind. I'm just enjoying my baby. This right here is a new baby. I ain't never preached. That's my new baby. I'm planning on preaching that all across the country if I can get it figured out. Got me a new baby. May get two or three grandyoungins out of it. I don't know. Aren't you glad for that work God does in your heart that makes this thing real? Makes it real. You ain't just singing because you think you can sing or got a talent. As a baby that's been born, wants to magnify the Lord. He ain't just teaching because they couldn't find nobody else to fill the class. As a baby, got birthed in you. I've known some people who taught Sunday school for 40 years. A baby was born. That old fella, as far as I know, is still mowing the grass. He ain't died because a baby was born.